For those of you who may not have been here last Sunday, we started discussing a topic that at the time I admitted was fairly controversial, fairly sensitive, a very touchy subject, as we'll kind of see. Tonight we're going to kind of continue that and conclude it as well. In a broader sense, it's a subject of Christians and food, or Christians and eating, with some special emphasis on, and this is what really attracts quite a bit of attention, that of gluttony. So it is kind of, has a focus on gluttony, but it's intended to kind of cover a lot of other things around it. Now, as I said, in terms of a touchy kind of subject, last time we noticed that within our culture, there's a lot of negative connotations both ways, being quote-unquote underweight and being quote-unquote overweight. And we observed at the time, a number of different terms on the one side, which I won't necessarily go through each one, and likewise on the other side as well. And we made the point at the time that if you notice the couple different things. One was just the number of terms, right? Under the overweight category, pretty fair number. Lots of terms, lots of slang terms, and we know how, people may think it, but, kids in school can be, really, harsh and cruel, et cetera. And it's not fair, but, often that's the way it is. And a much smaller number of terms on the right side. We also noticed the emotional content. The ones on the right side seem to imply some degree of empathy or sympathy or whatever, and the ones on the left are like, we're not going to cut you any slack at all. It's a very negative kind of thing. Anyway, within our culture, the number of topics that we have to cover at the time, a lot of different topics, related to Christians and food in general, and, gluttony in particular, challenges within our society, lots of problems that people have that are weight-related, lots of misconceptions, especially about gluttony. The Bible does have a lot to say about food. Then we're going to kind of focus in where we kind of left off last time with some contexts and definitions for quote-unquote glutton and gluttonous. Go on to look at some general related principles, or we'll kind of pick up tonight. A number of different applications, Bible examples, some warning signs, and then conclude with how to overcome some of these temptations. Last time we noticed that within our modern culture, we have a lot of challenges within our culture in terms of the easy access to food, in terms of personal pantries, refrigerators, etc., microwave convenience, etc., particularly with restaurants and some of the extra large portions that are typical within restaurants. We notice that it's often embedded throughout our culture, TVs, snacks at works, holiday season, etc. Also within our society, most of our food, but certainly a lot of it, is quote-unquote highly engineered to appeal to our senses. What I often say, crunchy, salty, sweet. I mean, hit those three, and it's like hard to stop. Fat, sugar, flavoring, very calorie dense, so to speak. And we also notice that with our modern lifestyles and convenience and affluence and whatever, we often live a somewhat sedentary life. We're not expending a lot of energy in a lot of situations like office-related kind of work, leisure time, video games, etc. And as a result of those challenges, last time we noticed that we are in the middle of what is quote-unquote an obesity epidemic. We noted that roughly $66 billion spent on a number of different things related to food, dieting, weight loss surgery, etc. Certainly a lot of rising concerns over health food, genetically modified organisms, etc., even to the point of some psychological problems. Anorexia, bulimia are a couple of the classic examples, as well as now, at least in terms of the clinical definition of obesity, certain percentage body mass index, about a third within the United States, about a third of the adults are quote-unquote obese. Roughly 15 to 20% of the children are quote-unquote obese. And we see how that's tied in with other problems as well, heart disease, blood pressure, diabetes, etc. In fact, I put this graph up last time, noticing, at least for those who were not here last time, the top part is the increase in rates of obesity, again, clinical definition, from roughly 1994 roughly 20 years into the future, give or take. And we also noticed it's like, you know, across the whole U.S., slightly bright spot in Colorado, we pointed out, since we do tend to be somewhat outdoors, et cetera. And then we also observed a very similar trend in diabetes. And I think I made the point at the time that, you know, not too surprising since, you know, extra weight puts extra, you know, burden on the system. Although I suspect it may be, and I'm not a dietitian or nutritionist, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was also the type of food. How much sugar, highly refined, and the strain that that puts on the system as well. Anyway, just mainly make a point, you know, rising rates of obesity, rising rates of related health problems. And we use this chart to make a point that it is such an easy trap to fall into. You know, there's a lot of, you know, growing popularity in, quote, I don't know if you find this, but quote, unquote, appropriately sized snacks. And we made the point that, you know, sometimes they're healthy, sometimes they may be, you know, not quite as healthy. But the point at the time was, you know, 100 calories, right? In fact, when I do some of my jogging or some of my, you know, running, they have little 100 calorie, little tiny packets that are like an energy kind of a gel, right? And they're just not very big, not very big at all, 100 calories. And we made the point at the time that, quote unquote, it's only 100 calories. And at least mathematically, if you run the numbers, 100 calories a day, so many days per year, so many calories per pound of fat, etc., that only 100 calories works out to about 10 extra pounds a year, mathematically. Again, I made the point. Mathematically, that's true. Biologically, I don't know if the body would, you know, do that kind of a thing. 5 years, 50 extra pounds. It's an easy trap to fall into, particularly, again, in our modern culture with, you know, ready access to food, etc. We also noted that there are a lot of misconceptions about food, weight, and especially gluttony. And we noted a number of them. You know, if you're overweight, by definition, you're a glutton. Not true. It's a misconception. Likewise, eating a big meal, eating food that's too rich, eating food that's too expensive, gobbling your food down, eating too early, which I found in the literature was interesting. And I said a lot of this comes from a bias, perhaps from the Middle Ages. Certainly it was, you know, one of the quote-unquote seven deadly sins under Catholicism. And certainly in some ways is related to, you know, a degree of asceticism, denying the body. You know, we've certainly seen that in terms of our study of 1 John in the adult class on Sunday mornings, you know, the Gnostics and the Stoics, etc. In fact, this last one, eating too early, they might classify you as a glutton if instead of eating at, pick a time, 6 p.m., you decide to eat at 5 or 4 because you just couldn't wait. Again, misconception. A lot of misconceptions. We even see that reflected in some modern definitions. Again, modern definitions, not Bible definitions that we'll get to in a little bit. You know, habitual greed, excess in eating, greedy or excessive indulgence, according to Merriam-Webster. Wikipedia, we noted to gulp down or swallow. At least within their definition, overindulgence and overconsumption of food, drink, wealth items. In fact, I was talking to a Catholic at work and has mentioned this particular topic. And she's the one that said, oh, yeah, well, that's like, you know, not only eating too much, but drinking too much and, you know, extravagant wealth kind of items. Like, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. Anyway, but the real question is, speaking of the Bible, you know, what does the Bible have to say? What does the Bible have to say, you know, especially about gluttony, but not just gluttony, surrounding things, you know, Christians, eating, food, attitudes, etc. So, last time we noted, right off the bat, blessing from God. Sense of taste, sense of smell, hunger, appetite, those are all blessings, you know, given to us by the Creator. Last time we also noticed that, you know, food as well is a blessing. You know, initially vegetarian, you know, within the Garden of Eden. You know, later on after the flood, meat added in. There are commands to enjoy food from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, you know, certain reward under the sun from the hand of God, you know, eating, etc. And in contrast to that, 1 Timothy 4:3, you know, a certain group of people, you know, ordering people to abstain from certain foods, which, if you'll notice at the very end, you know, God created to be received with thanksgiving. You know, it's a blessing, be thankful, etc. However, we also notice that it also comes with a danger. Not too surprising. You know, a lot of our natural senses or tendencies, whatever, blessing from God, unless they start to be misused or abused. That's not no big surprise there. Certainly we saw that the food was at the center of Genesis 3 and the fall. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, etc. Also we noticed it was associated with Sodom and Gomorrah. And at the time we said, last Sunday, that you mentioned those two cities and your mind immediately goes over to homosexuality. But according to Ecclesiastes, there were some other problems too. Almost like our modern society made that point. You know, excess of food, according to Ezekiel 16. Proverbs 23 warns about being given to appetite. Proverbs 25, 26 talks about what I might call pigging out on some foods, in this case honey, too much. Romans 14, there's a danger as well. You know, meat sacrificed to idols, etc. So, transitioning over to, so let's look at context. And let's kind of focus in on gluttony. We gluttonous, etc. We did that last time, so we'll kind of walk through this relatively quickly. We saw Deuteronomy 21:20, Proverbs 23:20 and 21, Proverbs 28, verse 7. And at the time, we kind of made an observation with, oh, and Matthew 11. We'll get to in a moment. And we made the observation that at least within Deuteronomy 21:20, it's certainly associated with some things, you know, being stubborn, rebellious, disobedient, drunkard. But you really couldn't tell from the context what that little word there means if you had no idea at all. Undefined within the context. Although associated with some things that are not good. Okay. Proverbs 23, somewhat similar, although now at least introducing the concept if it's involving eating, okay, eaters of meat. Proverbs 28:17, you know, likewise. Matthew 11:16-19, we notice it was in contrast to John the Baptist. You know, almost like two extremes. John the Baptist, you know, was certainly ate, you know, I think it was locusts and wild honey. And people thought that was unusual. And I think the Pharisees were blaming him, you know, to the far extreme, saying he has a demon. I guess Jesus was coming, you know, doing normal eating kinds of things. And the Pharisees were coming around and accusing him of the other extreme of being, you know, gluttonous and a wine bibber. Second set of contexts we saw at the time, Titus 1:12, Philippians 3:18-19, doesn't have the word, but I think it has the concept as we saw last time, and somewhat similar to Romans 16:17-18. Now, within these three contexts, especially Titus 1:12, and this is from, I mean, the context itself talks about, depending on your translation, slow belly, idle glutton. One commentary I kind of liked says this, people whose only concern was a stomach, indolent, pampering, they are called bellies, for that is the member for which they live. We also noticed in Philippians 3:18-19, again, you know, glutton is not there or gluttonous is not there, but people who worship their appetites, people who live not to honor and adore and honor God, but for self-indulgence, sensual gratifications. I like this phrase. Supreme happiness lies in gratifying their sensual appetites. Or, as was down in Romans 16, serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Some translations have appetite. 1 Corinthians 15:12 talks about kind of an attitude that says, well, you know, if there's no resurrection, you know, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Again, and you start picking up now, you know, serving the belly or serving the appetite, self-indulgence, pampering, only your primary concern. So now we're picking up those nuances as well. And that's where we stopped last time. So resuming on with some new material, let's now look at some of the definitions of kind of the underlying Hebrew and Greek words. Strong's, and this is from the Hebrew word from the Old Testament. And it's an interesting one. To shake, and that's the literal meaning, figuratively, to be loose, immorally, worthless, or prodigal, again, in excess kind of thing, to blow down, glutton, Riotous eater. Another part of the definition, to pour out, shake out, hence to lavish, squander, or be prodigal. So that adds a little another kind of dimension, you know, squandering, being prodigal, etc. Strong's from the New Testament, the belly, or the abdomen, we might say, the womb, another aspect of it, the stomach. And at least within this particular case, in this case, almost figuratively, a man who is as it were, all stomach, because that's the member he lives for. Here's another definition, also in the New Testament, given to eating, gluttonous. And I think I may have one more. Yeah, here's another one. Another word, again, with the New Testament, a cavity, in general, abdomen, womb, heart, belly, just kind of a general sense. So if you combine the contexts and the definitions, we certainly get the association with food. Now, it's often associated also with excess of, you know, drinking, drunkenness, etc., but not always, but always with a negative sense. But here's where I think the kind of the key pivotal, you know, aspect is serving their appetite, serving their eating, or given to eating, pampering themselves, self-indulgence, overindulgence, addicted. Oh, okay. Probably strong terms. And as we saw with Philippians chapter 3, 18 through 19, Romans 16, 18, 17 through 18 as well, whose God is the belly, right? For they that are such serve their own belly. And again, some translations have appetite. So again, it's almost like an attitude or an emphasis on those kinds of things as opposed to other things. Now that's kind of within, you know, gluttony, etc. Now there's a number of other verses that are outside of that, and I want to say are like related to it, more under the general canopy of food and eating. But even more so than that, as we'll see, some general principles, even more so than just, you know, food and such. For instance, we have Matthew 6, verses 25 and 33, talks about worrying and being anxious. You know, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll drink, you know, and a general principle of seeking first spiritual things, kingdom, righteousness, etc., being anxious or worrying. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Talks about presenting your bodies, you know, a living sacrifice, holy sacrifice, which is a form of, you know, spiritual worship, spiritual service, our bodies. Likewise, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20, similar to Romans 12, you know, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, glorify God in your body, again, a general principle. 1 Corinthians 9, 27, disciplining your body, making it your slave, again, speaking to, you know, self-control. And likewise, another general principle, Romans 12, 17, respecting what is right in the sight of all men and trying to be sensitive to people's perceptions, etc. Now, we take these kinds of verses and we turn around and I think correctly apply them to a wide variety of different situations. For example, you know, we talk about, you know, tattoos and piercings, and we come over to, you know, Romans 12 and talk about our bodies and using our bodies appropriately, right? We talk about, you know, smoking and drinking and drugs. And likewise, you know, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 9, right? And we make a point that, you know, even though smoking for sure, drugs to maybe a slight extent, you know, aren't really mentioned in the Bible, but we have some general principles, right, that would argue against doing things in general that harm the body. Okay, got that. Even to the point, and this, I'm not meant to step on toes, but, you know, if you can't do anything in the morning until you have a few cups of coffee and your body is, you know, really, really needs it, or we talk about being addicted, quote unquote, to soda or energy drinks, well, you know, if you're doing some things in excess that are starting to have, you know, a problem with your body, for instance, or somewhat lack of self-control, you know, we make those points, and I think correctly so. You know, even things like hair and makeup and jewelry, you know, being anxious for certain kinds of things, as an example, you know, taking things to excess, you know, we make those kinds of points correctly, I believe. Video games, hobbies, sports, again, you know, we make points about, you know, seeking first his kingdom, relative priority, relative emphasis. And we use these kind of general principles to say, you know, if you're spending, you know, massive amounts of time on these things, you know, you need to reevaluate your priorities, etc. Excessive time at work, you know, make those kinds of points. You know, even, you know, sexual activity, you know, within the context of marriage, or, you know, even with the context of being single and pornography and lust and all that kind of stuff. You know, some of these, you know, presenting your bodies, body, you know, body's a temple of God, etc. And we make all those points, and again, I think correctly so. Excessive sleep, right? All different kinds of stuff. Yes, and even food, right? In terms of general principles, right? So, in some ways, if we're being very anxious about food, or if food is like a very high priority, or the highest priority in our lives, you know, if we're doing things with food that are somewhat detrimental to the body, or not glorifying God in our body, or if we lack self-control, etc., or doing things that other people are looking at and going, well, that just doesn't look right. For example, you know, we apply that to food, eating, etc., general principles. So how do we make applications of, you know, general principles, and more so some related to, you know, eating in general, and then, you know, within the very core or the very center, gluttony? Well, we can make several. What about worry? Not having enough to eat. Well, okay. Matthew 6. You know, relationship between Christian and their food, you know, excessively worrying about. Now, within our culture, we don't have that problem. Almost generally speaking. Some other cultures, some other countries, yeah. You know, where people physically are, you know, literally hungry, going to bed, hungry when they wake up, malnourished, dying. Okay. How about obsessing? Okay. And I'm not talking about just being somewhat concerned. You know, let's talk about, you know, being obsessed about dieting, being obsessed about weight loss. Now we're talking again relative priorities, seeking first, etc. And of course, this even in its extreme state, you know, we get into things like anorexia, where people almost literally starve themselves to death because they have this body image, and their world revolves around achieving this body image. Again, coming back to the verse about, you know, seeking first and relative priority, but even more so in this case now about actually, you know, starving and harming the body, right? Would that fall under here? I think it would. Again, a legitimate application. How about, and I was talking to Jeannie about this one, obsessing, again, notice emphasis, obsessing about health food. Now, I'm not saying health food is bad. I'm not saying, you know, being somewhat concerned about the quality of our food is bad. No, I'm not saying that at all. But you may know of some people that, quote unquote, obsess about their food and obsess about, you know, the origin of the food, obsess about the, you know, animals that were used to produce the food, you know, free range chickens that lay eggs and whatever, or hormonal kinds of things that are injected into the animals, or et cetera. And some of that may be legitimate, unless it starts getting carried to an extreme, right? And again, we're talking extremes here, right? Orthorexia, yeah, that's the verse. You know, you have anorexia, starving yourself to death. Orthorexia, I didn't know that one before. You know, obsessing about quote-unquote health food. Okay, how about allowing ourselves to gain weight to the point where it starts impairing our health and harming our body? Now let me quickly point out, allowing. We're talking about a matter of choice. I've got another chart in a few moments. It's not just gaining weight. More to it than that. And it's not just gaining weight to some degree because we enjoy our food. Here we're talking about now impairing our health, harming our body. Well, doesn't that talk about Romans 12? Right? Present your body as a living sacrifice, the same verse we would run to for, you know, smoking and drinking and drugs. I think so. Properly understood. And then, of course, you have the main where things get real sinful. You know, gluttony, given to eating, excessive indulgence. You know, living for food. Right? How about this one? Competitive eating contests. I can swallow down. You know, pick some extreme number. 72 hot dogs, including the buns. Right? Now, it's not like they're it's not like they're worshiping their belly. It's not like they're worshiping their appetite. But is it bad in the sense of harming the body? Well, potentially. Is it bad in the sense of doing something that most people look at and go, oh, that's just wrong? You know, so many hot dogs, so many hamburgers, so many, you know, whatever. Does it fall into the category of one of the Greek words of, and I forget, you know, the prodigal or wasteful or whatever? Well, I would tend to think so. And then, of course, we get into one of the extreme cases of bulimia, where people will, sometimes it's called binge purge. Binge and sort of eating lots of food and then getting rid of it. Okay. Which often has some psychological problems associated with it as well. In addition to, you know, some degree of lack of control and perception about body image. Certainly wasteful in some cases. You know, a lot of different applications that we can make. And not, again, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. You know, this sermon is not just about gluttony, right? It's about Christians and relationship with food and with eating. And so, you know, we see certainly gluttony is one of the applications. But, you know, there's some other non-gluttony kinds of things that we need to be careful with. Okay. And maybe this is key. You know, worrying about these things, obsessing about these things, things that are excessive. You know, heck, can you put a number on that? I can't. You know, it's somewhat subjective. Do we need wise judgment? Well, yeah. Do we need wise judgment to avoid extremes? Yes, very much so. I mean, you can't go to the scriptures and say, well, if your body mass index is more than 25%, then, you know, that's wrong. You know, if you weigh, you know, more than 5 pounds than the standard average, you know, that's wrong. Again, somewhat subjective. Requires some wisdom. Some examples from Old and New Testament, people that had, I don't know if I want to say eating problems or problems with food, but let's kind of see what we got. Well, we've already mentioned Eve, right? Genesis 3, fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Looked pretty good, you know, and you know, something to be craved for, etc. We already mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah as well, Ezekiel chapter 16. How about Esau? Here's an interesting one. And again, not in terms of quantity of food, probably not in terms of, you know, very expensive, rich food, but more like an attitude. Right? What comes first? Relative priority. Genesis 25, verses 30 through 34, as well as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. You may recall the incident. You know, Esau comes in from the field and says, comes to Jacob's tent, whatever. You know, feed me some of that red pottage. I assume it'd be like a soup of some kind. For I am faint. And, of course, Jacob, seeing an opportunity, says, okay, fine, I'll give you a bowl of soup. Just sell me your birthright. And Esau said, I'm about to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Of course, later on, he realized his mistake. But again, you know, relative emphasis, relative attitude, you know, wasn't what it should be. How about Israel? Here's a good one. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, along with Psalms 78. And this was, you know, in the wilderness, the mixed multitude. I like the phrase, lusted exceedingly for what? Well, keep reading. Children of Israel wept also, said, who will give us flesh to eat? They wanted meat. And they said, oh, well, we remember back in, well, slavery in Egypt. Or we had the good life. Nah. We remember the fish, which we ate in Egypt. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Oh, it's so great back there. Really? I like this last phrase. Our soul is dried away. How sad. There is nothing at all save this manna to look upon. Now, wait a minute. What was manna? Manna was the food from who? God. And they're saying, all we've got, oh, it's a whiny voice, right? All we've got is this manna to eat. Give us some meat, give us some beef, give us, we remember the fish and I, right? lusted exceedingly. And again, not in terms of, you know, quantity or worship, but, you know, where, see the relative priority there? Self-control, etc. Especially insulting to God. Yeah, we know you miraculously do this thing every morning, and you make us here, and we gather, and we eat it. But it's like, yeah, we're getting tired of it. We want some variety in our diet. Pretty sad. Second chart of examples. How about the sons of Eli? 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 17. Sad case. They and their servants would actually steal some of the meat that was being offered in sacrifice during the process of offering it, including the fat. Now, if you remember Old Testament law, the fat was supposed to be reserved for who? For God. And they were going there and stealing it. Bad attitude, among other things. How about the rich man? Luke 12, 15 through 21. And I will, I like this one. I will say to my soul, now, is he talking to his soul or is he more talking to his belly? Well, lots of goods, many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Again, relative priority, relative attitude, etc. How about the unfaithful servant? Luke 12, verses 42 through 46. Of course, his master, he says, my word's going to be away for a long time. Okay, fine, I got the run of the house, the run of the other servants, whatever. Beat the men servants, maid servants, eat, drink, drunken. Right? Again, relative attitude kind of thing. Not having the right priorities, not having the right respect, etc. Okay. So let's talk about warning signs. And this is not just about gluttony. Okay. This is just about eating in general, food in general. Some warning signs, okay? And we've kind of already hit on some of these. How much time do we spend? How much time do we spend thinking about it? Do we spend some? Okay. Do we spend a lot? Do we spend an excessive amount of time thinking about, and you can fill in the blank with, you know, thinking about clothing, thinking about our house, thinking about, you know, our job, thinking, you know, fill in the blank. Again, similar scriptures. How about money? You know, again, you know, can we spend money on food? Yeah. You know, can we spend a reasonable amount of money on better quality food? Sure. But what about excessive? And again, you know, again, a subjective term. But again, you could take out food and you could put in other things. You know, excessive spending on, fill in the blank. You know, sports and hobbies and video games and or whatever. Same kind of principles apply. How about continued overeating? Again, we talked about this a little bit before. Choosing to, we'll see that in another chart. Despite growing problems with, and there are a lot of problems associated with, you know, gaining lots of weight, blood pressure, diabetes, as we've already noted. Or, if you kind of boil it all down, does it seem like your world revolves around food when it really should revolve more around God, spiritual things? Or are we obsessing about it in many different ways, like we saw, you know, the various applications? You know, are we serving it? Are we worshiping it, etc.? Are we starting to? Again, warning signs. Starting to. Here are some more. How about being overweight? Okay, let's cut to the chase on this one. Not necessarily. And we saw early on, you know, some people say, well, you know, if you're overweight, by definition, you're blessed. No, it's not that cut and dry. That's an extreme position. And as we've got, you know, here up on the board, a number of different factors that are contributing to people that have being overweight, problems with weight, etc. You know, to include certain hereditary genetic kinds of things that you have absolutely no control over, right? To include parental upbringing. We mentioned, you know, clean plate club, right? And some, within some families, that is, you know, how children are raised to think. It says, okay, got food on the plate, I need to eat it. Can't walk away with food on the plate. That's, and more so with older families, particularly coming out of the Great Depression, you do not waste food because they had no food. They had no food to spare. Okay? And that's okay if the person putting the food on the plate is, you know, considering the person who's going to be eating food off of the plate. And, you know, I hate to see wasted food. I really do. I go to see some of these buffets, and people just pile on the food and then throw half of it away. Hate that. And yet, if children are raised to, well, you know, clean your plate. You know, you got food on your plate, clean it. That can lead to some of these problems as well. Certainly, medical conditions can contribute. And any number of different things. I mean, sometimes, you know, joint kinds of things and arthritis and whatever that impedes the ability to exercise. Thyroid and other hormonal kinds of problems. You know, medication side effects. You know, medication that you need sometimes has side effects. Again, sometimes lack of sleep. Sometimes loss of stress. Getting older. Right? Getting older, slowing metabolism. You know, have no control over that, etc. And often a lack of awareness, in some cases, results in quote-unquote weight creep. In fact, it's one of those, it's like, I don't want to say mindless eating, but it's like, you know, you sit at the dinner table, or you sit down in front of the TV, and you grab a bag of, you know, whatever it is, chips are good, again, salty, crunchy, and you start, you know, you're watching TV, and you start eating. And you're watching TV, and you're just kind of eating, and pretty soon, the bag's gone. You didn't even really stop to think about it. So, is being overweight indicative of a person that is a glutton? No. Is it indicative of a person that has a spiritual problem? No, not necessarily. A lot of contributors, potential contributors. Here's a key thought, though, I'll leave with you. Do we use some of these, as excuses to justify enjoying and eating lots of good food? Now that may be an area for self-examination. Yes, we may have legitimate problems. Or do we use these kinds of things as, well, you know, sometimes I indulge myself. Okay, and again, we're talking about attitude. We don't want to use these. I mean, if these are legitimate, sure. Do we want to use as excuses? Okay, now that's a different matter. Got to be careful. Okay, how to overcome. Next to the last chart. And like lots of things that we see as temptations or habits or things we're in the rut of doing, like we saw earlier, application of the same principles, whether it's, you know, food, sleep, work, whatever, any sort of, you know, habit or temptation, very similar here, right? Being mindful, you know, mentioned about, you know, mindless eating in front of the TV kind of thing. Just be mindful of these kinds of things. Mindful of, like we said earlier, with some of the, you know, only 100 calories, a little bit over some prolonged period of time, and, you know, weight will start to creep up. Just needing to be mindful of these kinds of things. Sometimes medical attention, right? In terms of, you know, hormonal kinds of things, or, you know, maybe digestive problem kinds of things or arthritis kinds of things that impair exercise, et cetera, may involve, you know, the need to seek medical attention. And like with any temptation or habit, you know, just watch out for, you know, quote-unquote triggering situations. That's just good common sense. As is replacing one bad habit with another. And, of course, you know, people who are sensitive to their weight, you know, they kind of realize that already, you know, like substituting one food for another, like, you know, some of the better veggie kinds of things, you know, carrot sticks instead of cookies or whatever the case may be. And substituting one habit. And again, notice, you know, emphasis, habit. It's sometimes we just get in the habit of doing it and we need to be mindful of it, realize we're doing it. And then, okay, start making often small. And there's a phrase going around, life hacks. Small changes, you know, incrementally making some changes, you know, swapping out over time. It's more sustainable. I mean, one of the things that makes absolutely no sense to me, you know, people go on quote-unquote crash diets. You know, I'm going to go on the grapefruit diet. I'm going to eat nothing but grapefruit for a month. It's like, doesn't make sense, right? It's not sustainable, right? It's not a lifestyle kind of change. And that's what we're kind of talking about. Prayer, of course, available to faithful Christians. Encouragement from fellow Christians. And, you know, you can just go on and on. Right? How to, you know, recognize these kind of temptations, recognizing the habit, you know, being mindful, et cetera. And just kind of working our way away from those things, you know, as time and opportunity permit. Okay, quick conclusion. So, recognizing first of all that food and our wonderful senses to enjoy it, blessing from God. But recognizing both can be abused, right? Both food and our senses as well, our appetites, etc. And within our society, especially challenging, right? Calorie dense, very flavorful, packaged convenience. I mean, you know, you can have more than a full meal, pop in the microwave, punch up the numbers, and you know, a couple minutes later, very challenging in our affluent society. And let's face it, we've got the disposable cash to pay for it, right? Whatever we want, whenever we want, as much of it as we want. And, you know, don't let your appetite, don't let your belly be your God in the extreme, some of the extreme cases. And in some ways, it's just similar to other areas that we have to be careful about and be on guard for. And we certainly need to avoid extremes. You know, we need to exercise sound judgment, wisdom, a sense of balance, to avoid, you know, going in any number of extreme directions and, you know, getting ourselves in trouble attitude-wise or starting to, you know, accuse others of things that are not true, etc. Need to avoid extremes. Relative emphasis and priority, again, coming back to Matthew 6, seeking first kingdom of God. And with help and God's grace, you know, we can overcome. And that help comes from any number of different places. You know, comes from the medical, comes from, you know, dietary kinds of things, comes from doctors, comes from fellow Christians, comes from, you know, all over the place. Help and God's grace, we can overcome. There you go. The Christian in food, the Christian in eating. A lot of different aspects. And again, some that are very sensitive, and hopefully I have not come across, you know, insensitive. Hopefully we've made a balanced presentation that talks about all the different aspects. And some of the things just need to be, you know, mindful of. Interesting that God would care about what we eat. Right? Interesting that God wants us to live in certain ways. Of course, you know, that kind of segues way into the invitation. If, you know, food is our God, we need a different God. Right? Of course, if we haven't acknowledged God as God to become a Christian, and that's kind of where it really needs to start, putting God first. Whether to initially become a Christian, repenting of sins, etc. Or in terms of the invitation, you know, if you've fallen into some of these sins, if indeed it is sinful, you know, and it's a public nature, you know, offer the opportunity to come forward. These things, or anything for that matter, that's sinful. Or if you're just struggling with, you know, this or anything, that's part of the invitation as well, that we're now extending. And if you need to make such things known publicly, go on forward. We'll do what we can to help you as we now stand and sing the song.